Welcome to Audio 5 of Discovery-Oriented Conversational Process, inspired by Janella Bird. I am Josephine Stanton. The text of this audio is on the website https://talkthatheals.org/. This fifth audio describes the point of difference number 4, which focuses on exploration of each person's unique experience within a social and cultural environment. We hear what we listen for. A collaborative discovery conversation requires us to listen for opportunities for discovery. Our natural way of listening is to categorize, to fit what we hear into something we understand and have knowledge of. To keep listening for unique aspects of a person's experience with a focus on opening inquiry takes a lot more cognitive effort. We can listen in many different ways. In a social conversation, we might be listening for a description of an experience we resonate with, an opportunity to tell one of our favourite anecdotes, or a description of an enjoyable travel experience which gives us an idea of where we might spend our next holiday. We listen differently with different amounts of focus depending on our relationship with the person who is talking. The therapeutic approach we're using and ideas we have also orient the listening and observing we are doing differently. In any approach, we might be listening for universal human experiences such as loss, grief, or loneliness. Listening for indications of specifically defined diagnoses is a particularly tightly prescribed process. In motivational interviewing, we will be listening for opportunities to elicit change talk. In CBT, we might be listening for core beliefs or unhelpful thoughts or cognitive distortions we have strategies to address. In an assessment process with the goal of a psychological formulation, the therapist may be listening for traumatic events, experiences indicating attachment problems, or indicators of use of psychological defences. Any of these could help build the therapist's understanding of what the person is experiencing. All these processes involve focusing listening on identifying themes and threads which fit categories in our thinking. These approaches of listening and observing are core to evidence-based psychological interventions. These approaches to listening and observing are core to evidence-based psychological interventions. Most of us have put a lot of time and effort into developing competence in using them. They yield information which guides us as to strategies which are shown to be helpful and information we can give people. Offering people an explanation informed by psychological theories, diagnostic systems, and information about other people's experience is often helpful. It can be a relief for people to find they're not the only one. Having a therapist make sense of experiences they are having can be validating and reassuring. Clinicians can offer interventions which make a difference. We use this sort of listening in a collaborative discovery process to bring knowledge and experience we have to the process of guiding inquiry. Crucial to Janella's work is holding this sort of listening in the background while orienting to listening for this person's experience and responses in their unique context. We are looking to go beyond what we know and understand, beyond categorization, and beyond what the person holds in their conscious awareness. We know we are on the right track when the person says something like, "I didn't know I knew that." This focus on listening for the detail of what the person is experiencing and doing in their individual context makes our work much more challenging. We need to hold lightly, and maybe even let go of, the experience of competence in identifying, "I know what this is." We don't know what anything is for this person unless we can support them to put their experience into words and tell us. It also makes our work so much more interesting. I am often surprised what I learn about how people are negotiating their lives and relationships and how they are experiencing this conversation with me. I have an example from my personal life I have permission to use in this context. Becoming a grandparent was an exciting prospect for me. Many of my friends had spoken about how they loved being a grandparent. While it has been a great source of joy and discovery to me, I have also found challenges I didn't expect. I felt unsure how to conduct myself in a new context with my daughters and their partners. I experienced the doubt about my parenting skills with this new infant for whom I felt such strong feelings, but who was unfamiliar and wasn't my child. I had little in the way of parameters to guide me as to what was required of a grandparent. I noticed myself comparing myself with the child's other grandparents, resulting in feelings that I didn't match up. When I have talked about these challenges with my friends who have been extremely positive about their experiences as grandparents, they have described sharing many of the challenges. They seem to appreciate their being named and open for discussion. When a friend of mine talked about becoming a grandparent as being an emotional roller coaster, I responded by validating how challenging I and others have found this new role. Then I stopped, thought again, and asked her about what the roller coaster was for her. This opened a conversation about her anticipation of becoming a single grandparent rather than becoming a grandparent with her children's father, from whom she had long been separated. Reflecting on her individual circumstances had the potential to open up a conversation about issues quite different from what other people had described. An important one was the feelings she had about his new partner being part of the family. In writing this, I asked for her feedback. She reported finding it validating to hear that other people also have struggles in becoming a grandparent, but felt that being invited to tell me about the specific experiences she was having was validating on a deeper, more connecting level. She was endorsing a both-and approach, appreciating validation of both generalizable and specific aspects of the experience. In my initial response to my friend's description of becoming a grandparent as challenging, I put it together with other similar descriptions I had heard. She experienced this as helpful, but in doing this, I lost detail. Going beyond the categorization to ask about her specific experience and her context opened the possibility of a richer conversation. Focusing on unique aspects of a person's experience is one of the ways we interrupt the flow. It is part of what is so countercultural, exciting, and challenging in using Janella's approach. Putting things in categories and connecting them with other experiences we have had are strategies we all use and couldn't live without. They help us make sense of the world and access relevant knowledge and experience. The depth of knowledge and experience we have augment what we offer people in a collaborative discovery process. We do not serve people best in the role of naive inquirer from a not-knowing position. Our knowledge and experience can inform our inquiry and help us identify opportunities for exploration so that we can go beyond them. Hence the importance of keeping our listening open to what surprises us. This contrasts with the ideal of a therapist as someone who has such a high level of attunement and ability to read people that they can know another person more completely than the person can verbalize or communicate explicitly. In any human interaction, it is a special experience to feel understood without having to use words. However, the collaborative discovery process requires supporting the person to put their thinking into words. Making the implicit explicit increases what we have available in conscious awareness with the possibility of identifying agency and resource. Responding with warmth and accurate empathy offers the person something important, but they don't learn anything new. The accuracy of this empathy is likely to be partial at best and risks shutting down rather than opening up exploration, even if we have got it mostly right. Simply asking, "What do you mean by X?" or "Tell me more about X," can be helpful, but asking about an experience in context can help focus the person's experience on the detail of their experience. For example, the desperation you felt when you heard David had lost his job, can you put words to this desperation? How did this desperation affect you? There can be an experience of validation and immediate expression of understanding. As with my friend, when I initially identified other people's experiences of finding grandparent challenging. But there is a risk of loss of detail and the richness in the detail. In order to bring out detailed understanding, we need to use the power we hold to engage people in carefully negotiating meaning, using the person's own words where possible. Using the person's own words in the process of negotiating meaning supports the meaning they are holding, even though we may have only a beginning of understanding. When we change the words they use or make assumptions about their meaning, the person may experience this change as implying that we understand what they are describing better than they do. They may shift from attending to their own experience and try to make sense of what we are meaning. This results in imposition of meaning. Their meaning, which might have been only partially moving into conscious awareness, goes underground. We lose detail in the understanding of their experience. The understanding they could access from their internal processing will always be richer than any understanding we can develop. This is the end of Audio 5, focusing on exploration of each person's unique experience within their social and environmental context. Thank you for listening. I would love to hear any feedback or ideas you have on info@talkthatheals.org.